I'm Vicky Nunn with The Midday. Norman is away today, but we do have a special guest. We'll be joined. In fact, we're joined now by the cellist Alisa Weilerstein, who is in Madison to perform with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night. Welcome, Alisa.
Thank you.
And you are going to be playing Shostakovich Cello Concerto Number 1.
That's right.
You've also brought your cello along, so we'll hear a little bit live, actually.
Yeah.
And we have a couple of your recordings as well. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about your career so far. You're quite a young person, and I think just graduated with a degree in history, yes. Russian history?
Yes.
From Columbia.
Yeah, that's right. I graduated in May 04.
So. Mm-hmm. And, but your cello playing days go back to when you were 2 and a half, I think. I wonder if you could describe that first cello.
Oh, that was a very unusual cello. Both my parents are professional musicians, and my father was the first violinist of the Cleveland Quartet for 20 years, and so until I was about 7. And there was one particular time he was on tour in Europe, and my mom is a fantastic pianist, and she also had a lot of concerts, and she has a lot of concerts still. But she was about to leave for one of her tours, and I was about 2 and a half, so I was just about the right age to get chicken pox, and very conveniently, I got chicken pox the night before she left for her tour. So my grandmother felt very sorry for me, and so she came to take care of me while I was sick, and she brought with her a string quartet of instruments that she had made herself out of cereal boxes. The cello was a Rice Krispies box, which she painted over, you know, the fingerboard, the strings, the F holes and everything. And she had, for the end pin, she had an old toothbrush. So this was really hilarious, actually. And so, that was my favorite toy. And, I sawed away at that thing whenever my parents would rehearse in the house. It was my favorite thing. And then, I was eventually dissatisfied with the fact that it didn't make any sound, so I begged my parents for a real cello when I was 4.
And then it just, of course, grew from there.
Yeah.
You're very much involved with the cello these days. And mm-hmm. what I have here is a recording that you say you made in 1998.
Yes.
Which is a little bit ago, but this is a CD, your debut CD, in fact, on
right.
EMI Classics.
Right.
And with you, your mother, Vivian mm-hmm. Hornick Weilerstein.
That's right.
And we're going to hear from that a piece by Alberto Ginastera. If you could tell us just a little bit about this Pompeiana.
It's Pompeiana Number 2. It's based on Pampas, which is a sand dune, actually. It's an Argentinian composer. It starts off with a really spectacular kind of cadenza for the cello and goes into lots of really sort of fast and dance-like rhythms, and sort of, there's a very sensual middle section, and then just it sort of ends very explosively, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, enjoy this. This is Pompeiana Number 2 by Alberto Ginastera, played by Alisa Weilerstein, cello, mm-hmm. and Vivian Hornick, Weilerstein, piano. Cellist Alisa Weilerstein with that little bit of South America that really warms up our winter day here. The Pompeiana Number 2 by Alberto Ginastera. Your pianist was your mother, and mm-hmm. You say it's a little bit like looking at old pictures, listening to
yes.
this recording from when you were 16.
I was 16, yeah, mm-hmm. a while ago.
I was thinking about your performing with your mom. It must be second nature.
Mm-hmm.
But you must have a very honest relationship, because there
oh, yes.
probably have to be some conversations.
Oh, for sure. Uh-huh. I mean, I've been playing with her basically since and with my father too. We played as a trio as well. And we actually are about to release a recording in a few days. It's on Koch. It's an all Dvorak album, so you'll be able to find that everywhere. But we've been playing together since I started playing the cello, basically. And so, yes, there's a very, very, very open dialogue. And there's no sugarcoating of anything. So it can be very stormy sometimes, but, you know, usually it's productive.
So. With that. You mentioned your father, too, and you have a trio. You're in residence in Boston?
Yeah, we're the trio in residence at the New England Conservatory.
And your trio is called the Weilerstein Trio.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Not so creative, but yeah.
But you finished school, so you're kind of finished with this dual life that you're leading.
Yes, yeah. Which is great.
Just performing?
Yeah. Yeah, I do 75 to 80 concerts a year.
All right.
So it's a lot.
I was wondering if you could tell us what happens when a musician is awarded the Avery Fisher Career Grant. How does that change your life or your career?
Well, it's a huge honor. It's the highest honor probably that a young American musician can receive. And so it's just, so there's that. And of course, it's fantastic to show this. It's just sort of, it's sort of a way in the door, I guess. And I was actually very lucky because a lot of great stuff happened to me that year in 2000. I released this recording that you just played. So that was also
That's a huge boost.
And no, it's not a part of the grant, but the Avery Fisher Career Grant also happened at the same time. And so those two things combined were really just sort of launching pads, I guess. And so it can, and the grant is also a lot of money. So it paid for one semester of Columbia. But
Very nice.
Yeah, very helpful. Yeah, it was very nice.
But there is a program called the European Concert Hall Organization
where
you did actually tour several celebrated concert halls in Europe.
Yes, there were seven recitals in Europe and all the best concert halls. Concertgebouw in Amsterdam, Wigmore Hall in London, Palais des Beaux-Arts in Brussels, etc. It's an incredible experience, actually. I really enjoyed that.
And that was a few years ago as well.
That was, in 2001. And I also had my first New York recital.
Is there anyone that stands out in your memory?
Well, my New York recital, for sure, was huge. And
so tell us about that.
Well, it was, I mean, I live in New York, so this was also, you know, my friends could come. And this was a very unusual thing because usually I'm on the road. And so, you know, my friends don't often hear me. And so it was very... It just was great to have that support. And of course, Royal Hall is just a fantastic place to play. And also, the recital at the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam was very special to me, too. I just really felt, I mean, there are certain times where you feel sometimes not quite in sync with the audience or even, or with the music. And that night, I felt completely in my element, and it was really fantastic.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Well, we've had a look at this old picture here, and I'm thinking we should maybe catch up with where you are now. Maybe and you have brought your cello along.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about this cello that you've acquired since the Rice Krispie box?
This is actually the cello I'm playing on right now. It's actually not my cello. It's I'm borrowing it, and ironically, that's the cello that I played on for this recording, which you just played. This is a Gefriller. Matteo Gefriller of 1698, so it's 308 years old, and it's Italian. It's gorgeous, and
it's beautiful to look at. And we'll hear how it sounds here. What will you play for us?
I will play the prelude from the C major Bach suite.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There are some composers who really inform all of your playing. I wonder if Bach mm-hmm. is one of those for
you. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Could you talk about the Shostakovich cello concerto just a little bit that you'll be playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra?
Sure. Shostakovich, of course, you know, is a Soviet composer, and this is actually relatively late work. I think it's Opus 107. So it was written for Rostropovich, who, I don't know, was sort of his inspiration for most of his cello works, actually. And of course, there are many, many theories about Shostakovich, but I guess sort of the prevailing theory is that a lot of his music was in protest to the of the Stalinist regime, and of course you can hear a lot of that. It's a lot of it's very sarcastic, some of it's very
ironic,
mean,
mm-hmm.
and very tragic sometimes. But also, some of it is he takes a lot of folk tunes from, you know, some old Russian folk songs, and even some sort of Jewish folk tunes as well. And at the very end of the piece, there's one tiny moment where he actually makes fun of Stalin's favorite song. He just sort of, he quotes it in a very sort of silly, infantile way. And you can hear that all over his music. So it's a really fantastic piece. It's one of my favorite pieces to play. So,
well, we'll look forward to mm-hmm. hearing that tomorrow night if
yeah.
you're in Madison
mm-hmm.
and able to go to this wonderful new concert hall that we yes. have, too.
Fantastic acoustics.
The newly
really, really
renovated
wonderful.
Capitol Theater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a couple of other things. I was mm-hmm. thinking about your degree in history and mm-hmm. wondering if that informs your playing. It mm-hmm. enriches your career in what way?
Absolutely. I mean, I did that degree. I mean, for me, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, become a history professor someday. I have no ambitions for that. But it's I think actually what helps me the most from that whole experience is, I mean, besides, of course, knowing the context of a lot of things and just mm-hmm. having a much broader knowledge, is I was forced to write so much and to read so much, just to process so much information and to just learn to express myself very concisely and clearly. And that really translates into the playing, actually.
Really?
It's sort of an unconscious thing. It just sort of translates into everything that I do now. And so that was it's very, very helpful.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
And one other thing, I was curious, how do you listen to recorded music? Do you spend much time plugging into an iPod, or mm-hmm. do you have cellists that you admire that you listen to, or what do you like to listen to when you're just having fun?
I'm a dork and I listen to classical music mostly. I love the Beatles. I love Bjork and certain jazz, and I actually recently played in Lisbon, Portugal, and their sort of traditional music is called fado, which means destiny. And this music is some of the most moving music I've ever heard in my life, actually. Mm. It's usually with one singer and two guitar players, and they take it incredibly seriously there. I mean, they actually play it in clubs, but I mean, it's not background music at all. I mean, whenever the fado singer comes out, they turn down the lights and everyone has to be absolutely silent. So it's like going to a concert. Mm-hmm. And these are so simple and so, I don't know, so much longing in these songs. They're just wonderful. But as for cellists that I listen to, I actually try not to listen to too many recordings now, just because I'm playing this repertoire so much and it's so easy to copy. I find to really develop one's own voice, I mean, you of course listen to recordings when you're learning a piece just to sort of hear it, but once that sort of part of the process is over, it's good to develop your own ideas.
Well, we have a stage to clear here. We're going to have a 12:30 quiz question every day, and we're going to be doing that in just a minute. But during that time, we're going to be listening to yet more of your recordings.
Okay.
One more recording, which is the Dvorak Cello Concerto, the first movement. Uh-huh. And this was a performance with the Pittsburgh Symphony.
Yes.
And Peter Ungen conducting. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you might just talk a little bit about that.
That was 1 year ago, actually not even a year ago, and this was one of the most fun musical experiences I'd ever had, actually. I played Dvorak Concerto a lot, mm-hmm. first of all. I mean, every solo cellist does, I mean, for sure. Peter Ungen is probably one of the most fantastic musicians one could ever hope to work with, and the Pittsburgh Symphony, just it goes without saying, they're just amazing, just really wonderful. So I really enjoy this performance a lot.
So, we will too. We'll listen to that in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the Madison area, you'll have a chance to hear Alisa Weilerstein tomorrow night playing the Shostakovich Cello Concerto, the first one, with Andrew Sewell conducting the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. The concert time is 8 o'clock at the new Capitol Theater. The orchestra is also playing the Haydn Drum Roll Symphony and Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. And for tickets, you can call 608-257-0638, I believe, or you can check online at wcoconcerts.org. Alisa, thanks for spending a little bit of time with us on the midday.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
On Wisconsin Public Radio.